Many years ago, or some years back, had a man by the name of Dr. Bruce Wilkinson came out to South Africa, and he dealt with many subjects. One of them was God's answer to HIV/AIDS. Now, probably many of us here have actually heard or watched that video extensively. I did an extensive course of HIV/AIDS and the God's answer to it at one of the high schools in Randfontein. So I had 900 students go through it. Okay. But one of the things that he spoke about was forgiveness. And he used the illustration of a man who contracted HIV/AIDS through a blood transfusion. And he was so angry that he went and he loaned all the money and drew all the money he could. And he went around infecting young people of the town with HIV, young ladies with HIV/AIDS. And he got to the stage where he was in the final stages of his life. And one of the young girls that he'd infected one night just got up, answering the call of God, went outside and really wept before God. When she'd completed her weeping and feeling the presence of God, he gave her an instruction, which he followed out the next morning. That instruction was this. She went to that very man's hut. He'd been pushed out of the community. He was living in a hut all on his own, dying. Nobody to feed him, nobody to nurse him, nobody to look after him. And she walked up the hill from her house. She got to the door, the front door was open, and her shadow fell across this man as he was lying in bed. He, sensing her presence, turned round and said to her, "What are you doing here? I've given you HIV/AIDS. And she said to him, "I've come here to help you until you die, to make you comfortable and to serve you." You see, I believe from that story, God's showing us and illustrating to us how we need to forgive. And folk, it takes courage. It takes courage to forgive. That young girl was prepared to put everything aside. Put her anger aside, her disappointment, everything, every feeling that she may have had, psychological, emotional, whatever it was, she put it aside because God said, "Forgive." And folk, it took courage for her to walk up that hill to face the man that done her, that had done her a misconduct. And today, I want to share some things from the Word of God, as far as this is concerned. Taking courage, it takes courage to forgive. Forgiveness is something that we think, oh, it's so basic, that we, you know what, we don't have to hear about it. Maybe somebody else should be in this service today hearing this, this message. But folk, as we go through it, I want us to take note today. This is an extremely important area in our lives, and you'll see why in a few moments. In Genesis 33, we read of Jacob, the man who deceived his brother Esau of his birthright. He's returning home after many years of absence from his home. And in Genesis chapter 33, we see Jacob has made a plan that if his brother Esau comes, he'll divide the group, and so that if he attacks the one, the other group can escape. And it starts here, Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and there Esau was coming, and with him were 400 men. So he divided the children with Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants, and he put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children behind, and Rachel and Joseph last. And then he crossed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him. And fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And I'm going to take it to there. Many of us live in fear in our daily lives because of our past sins. Sorry. The tablet decided to do its own thing. Many of us have been frozen by our past sins against someone, or even more so, a past sin someone has committed to us, against us. Have you ever met these people? The ones who seem to rehash the past forever. The ones who seem to live in their memories more than in the present. The ones who seem to get past, can't get over or past issues in their lives. Some hang-ups and some roadblocks in their past. As if they're still chained to something that happened many years ago. As we think about it, how many of us do not move on in our Christian lives because we cannot forgive ourselves for something we've done? Or many of us can't let go of some wrong that someone has done to us. Forgiveness really exists in two areas on two levels. Many times from this pulpit, I've always said there's always a horizontal and then there's always a vertical. And in forgiveness, we find that exact same thing happening. Firstly, it's from God to us and from us to others. With God, we rejoice. We receive forgiveness from God, and we rejoice in it. But when it comes to others, we stumble around. We really battle with it. How can I forgive that person? We're glad that the Lord forgives us for our sins and our failures. But we are told when we know that we need to forgive someone else, we have major trouble with it. A member of a major non-Christian religion said to a missionary to India one day, he said, "Tell me one thing your religion can offer the people of India that mine can't." And the missionary thought for a moment and replied, "Forgiveness. Forgiveness." But then again, maybe our trouble is not when we know we need to forgive. It's when we think we don't have to forgive. And that's why I said this morning, maybe we're sitting here and think, you know, Josh Soap should be here. He should be listening to this. Or Mari should be here listening to this today. It's not about Joseph. It's not about Mary. We all like to live and wallow in our own problems. It's okay. I'm not bitter. But you know what? By saying it's somebody else's problem, they bitter, they twisted, they need to. Folk, we're saying, yes, it's okay for me to be bitter. We're allowed to fester in that issue that's there. We allow it to fester in our lives and we stew over it and we become non-Christian and we're in a bad place. We find ourselves in a terrible place where all of a sudden it's as if God has shut the heavens and doesn't want to hear us. We're allowed to hold on to grudges. If I know what has happened to you, I would expect you to forgive anyone. But I'm allowed to walk around with unforgiveness in my life. Folk, that's not the truth. We're not allowed to walk around with unforgiveness. The reason why we find ourselves in bad places or in a terrible place, you know, that's the new saying. I'm not challenged. I'm not going through a hard time, I'm in a bad place. We're in a bad place because we're not forgiving as God wants us to forgive. You know what? It might be a family member. It might be a relationship. It might be your work colleague. Lord have mercy. Can be any number of things. Folk, we need to forgive. It is true that I don't know what has happened to you. It's the truth. I don't know what's going on in your life. And I can't say that I don't want to know. Because if I'm Christian, I want to know so I can be your backstop. So that I can pray for you. But I don't know what's going on in your life. And if you're in a bad place this morning, I believe this message is as much for you as what it is for me. And how can I say it's for me? Because I know where I was last week. And how God had to deal with me. I also know that Jesus does know where I am. He knows where you are. And he knows what has been said, and he knows what he says about forgiveness. How often do we imagine the worst? Look at Jacob. I mean, he stole his brother's birthright. Hey? Then he runs away. For many years he goes and hides. Going through this wallowing in this issue. Going over and over and over and over and over and over in his head. He goes through the turmoil that is thrown at him by his father-in-law who cheated him out of money, cheated him out of the wife that he wanted. This is going on in his mind. But he gets to a place where, what now? God says, return home. Oh, come on. I've just been beaten up. I've gone through trials and tribulations. Now I'm going to go home and face that out. You know what he's like? He's this big, broad, 6 foot, 6 foot wide in all directions. He'll give me one clap and I'll go ball of a kisses. How can I do that? But folk, that's what it is. We've got to get to the point where we start dealing with that unforgiveness in our lives. Unlike followers of other world religions, those who put their hope in Christ have full assurance that their sins are forgiven. And if you want that full assurance that your sins are forgiven this morning, folk, I believe that you need to deal with any unforgiveness in your life right now. And folk, I believe that goes across every area, every spectrum of our life, whether it's political, whether it's business, whether it's family relationship, finances, whatever the case might be, we've got to get to that point where we can get up and stand up and say, the past is a past. It is water under the bridge. It is gone. We cannot live with unforgiveness. You see, folk, we might think, okay, unforgiveness. Ach, it's not a problem. But I want to tell you three things about unforgiveness this morning. Unforgiveness is more subtle than most sin. It's so subtle that it'll creep in, and it's so sneaky, it comes in like a snake. You think you blocked everything off, and that snake will find any hole, or a mouse. It sneaks in. It crawls into your spirit so gently, so nobly, so innocently that you don't know that it's there until it has got a hold of you. Somebody, we did a skit at the high school in Infantine about drugs. You know, the young people, I can do it, but I can leave it whenever I want to. Shane laughs, he knows what I'm talking about. We can leave it whenever we want to. So we had a captain that was helping me minister to the learners. And he said, I'll tell you how you can get out of this. And he got the head girl or the chair lady of the RCL to come up. And he said, you know what? You take that first puff of weed or dacha or whatever you want to call it. So he took the handcuffs out and he put it on. Just the first click. He said, oh, you can get out of it. So she pulls her hand out. See, the next time you do it, and he tightened the cuffs. See, how'd you get out now? It was more difficult. The third time, she couldn't get out of the handcuffs. And he said, oh dear me, what's the problem? Why can't you get out of it? I thought, all you students here know better than anybody else. You can just step out of it. It's just like unforgiveness in your life. Oh, I can just step out of it. It hasn't got hold of me yet. And suddenly you find yourself in that bad place where the handcuffs are strangled around your wrists. You can't get them loose. He turned to her and she went as blood red as some of the scarves around you this morning. Because he said, you'll have to go home with me so I can go and find the keys to the handcuffs. And he said, but folk, I want to tell you something. The only way out of it is this word. And he opened it up. He says, oh, I don't have to take you home. Here's the key. And folk, I want to tell you this morning, here's the key to your unforgiveness. It's found in the word of God. It's also more common than most sin. Oh, come on. It's impossible. Folk, it is more common than most sin. We all battle with it from time to time. Even though we may not stumble over the bigger sins, you will not commit adultery, you will not murder, you will not steal, but yet we still walk in the sin of unforgiveness in our life. The sin of the flesh, lack of forgiveness, seems to affect more of us than anything else. And finally, it's also more dangerous than any of the other sins. It's just as dangerous as any of them, but it is more dangerous. It may not cause you to overdose on drugs or overdrink yourself. It may not cause you to have a car accident, but it will divide churches. It will divide families. It will divide marriages, and it will divide nations. Unforgiveness has been called the cancer of the soul. And folk, that's why it is more dangerous than anything else. Because it brings a dividing line and it destroys any effort that's been made to bring about unity in the fellowship, unity in the nation, unity in the marriage, unity in the family. Unforgiveness, unchecked, will eat us alive. In Matthew 18, 21 to 35, Jesus tells a parable of forgiveness and points out the two levels, from God and for others. And Jesus also shows us what a lack of forgiveness will do to us. He compares unforgiveness to a prison. And you can go to Matthew 18, verse 30 to 34. And so he would not, but went and threw him in prison until he should pay the full debt. Verse 34. And his master was angry and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due to him. In this simple story, or this simple parable, a man owes his employee thousands or even millions of rand. And he's about to be thrown into prison with his entire family because he could not pay it back. But he pleads for mercy. And the king gives mercy to him, shows him mercy. The debt is erased and the man can go free. But what does he do? Exactly what you and I would do. We go out. Surely owes me money. Watch it, girl, I'm after you. I can say she's my wife. I've been after her ever since I met her. You see, each of us have accumulated a huge debt with God. He created the world. He created us. He loved us. He took care of us. He fed us. And He's clothed us. Yet at some point, each of us wandered away. At some point, each of us said, I don't need all of this. I can do it all by my own. I can do it my way. I don't need your love, I don't need you. And we run up quite a bill. We run up a major bill before our Maker. And the prison that we deserve is hell. Each of us deserves eternal punishment. Yet God says to us, be repentant. For what you did, for who you are, be willing to do anything for me out of gratitude, out of thanks to me, and the debt will get erased. Just like that. Gone. It's called grace, folks. That undeserved favor. It's called mercy. It's called forgiveness. He offers it to each of us. But whether we accept it or not, is up to you and I. You need to understand this. Unforgiveness is selfish, is self-inflicted. It's self-induced torture. It's a ball and chain that we put around our own legs. And it's of our own making. No matter what anybody did to you, forgiveness or unforgiveness is your own choice. You can choose life or death. You can choose forgiveness or unforgiveness. Doesn't matter what you do in life, we all have a choice. And for any managers here today, I think it's one of those attitudes, you can clap the whip and everybody's going to jump. I want to tell you this. There's a 90-10% ratio. If you're one of those that flick the whip, 10% of your work will be done. If you love people, you forgive them, you show them mercy and grace, 90% of the work will be done. People have a choice. Nobody can force you to do anything. Nobody, not even your manager. Not even your bosses can force you. And I'm not saying it in a nasty way. Yeah, there are ways. They can discipline you. They can fire you. But they still haven't made you do it, have they? The point is this, folk. The choice is yours. As an individual. The choice is yours. Forgiveness or unforgiveness. After all, if there weren't choices, would we be told so many times in the Word that we have to forgive? If we had said no in the matter, would a loving God tell us to forgive? If it were impossible to forgive, would we be told to do it? I don't think so, folk. Colossians 3:13 says this, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Ouch. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Just as in Christ God forgave you. In Luke 11:4, forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. Fuck, this is going somewhere. Jesus' own words in Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's why I said ouch earlier on. Fuck, it's not as easy as what we want, is it? We want God to forgive us. Pressed down. Flowing over. But how much are we prepared to forgive? Step on my favorite corner and I'm not going to forgive you. Or rather, okay, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Is that forgiveness? It's not, fuck. Mark 11:25, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. And here's the final verse in 18:35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your toes. And everybody keeps quiet. From your heart. You've got to forgive from your heart, folk. God wants us to forgive from the heart. It means I've got to forget about it. It means I've got to give that person a brand new slate, just as Jesus did for you and I. This is a scary thought. And it sure looks as if God's considering our forgiveness of others as important as His forgiveness of us. And it's the truth, folk, He does. If I cannot forgive my brother, how can I expect God to forgive me? A man by the name of General Oglethorpe once said to John Wesley, I never forgive and I never forget. To which John Wesley replied, then, sir, I hope you never sin. Forgiveness of others is tied to forgiveness from God. Why are we to forgive? Why is it so important? For several reasons. To be like our forgiving Father is the first one, and I think the most important one. We've got to reflect Jesus. We've got to reflect God, Father God. Therefore, we need to forgive as Father God forgives us. To help others, to help us understand all that we've been forgiven for. Have you ever sat down and really thought what God has forgiven you for? And because it's better for our souls. In Genesis 33, when Jacob saw the 400 men, he puts his plan of action into immediate effect. Man, this has got to happen. He knew that his family would be destroyed. Esau was a warrior. He was a hunter. And I believe that in Jacob's heart, he probably asked these questions. How dare God lead me into a terrible situation like this? Have you ever felt like that? I'm sure if we're honest enough, we say, yes, we have. God is asking you to do something that you don't want to do. How dare He? Who does He think He is? God? Well, He is God. But then look what happens. Jacob finds that Esau had forgiven him, and the brothers share fellowship. Esau didn't do what most of us would have done. Hey, Conrad? Brother comes and you've got an issue with him. Man, you want to take him out. Break his kneecaps. Break his jawbone. You want to do him a damage. That's what is going on in our thoughts, folk. That's what's going on in our thoughts. Somebody does a wrong to us now. You know, I'm going to get revenge. That person better watch it. They better look out, be on their pasopets, because I'm going to take them out. That's what we do. But what did Esau do? He did exactly what Jesus Christ wanted him to do. He went and he embraced his brother. He went and he hugged him, he kissed him, and then he wept over him and he said, man, it's so good to have you here. I've been longing to see you. I've missed you so much. In fact, maybe this is hard for us to sort of comprehend or take note of. But I believe that's where God wants us today. to forgive as Jesus forgave us. He was beaten. His flesh was torn. He shed his blood for you and I. Somebody said to him, "How much do you love me?" And he said, "This much." And he opened his arms and died at Calvary for you and I. That is forgiveness, the ultimate love, the forgiveness that shows a love that goes to the extent of even death. Not one of us has shown that type of love. But Jesus did, because he wants us to forgive one another. How can we say we love our brothers when we cannot even forgive them? You see, to forgive someone in a way that honors our Savior is not only to forgive, but to forget. Stop and consider your salvation for a moment. When we accepted Jesus, what the Lord had done for us, he gave us a clean slate. How about you and I giving that person a clean slate today? As we forgive, as Christ forgave. Jacob knew what he'd done was wrong. He knew that what he'd gone through was all because of what he'd done. And yeah, he has to come and face his brother. And instead of seeing a man filled with revenge and hatred and despising him, he meets a man who shows him love and forgiveness. You know what I believe? On that day when Esau embraced his brother and wept over him and said, "Man, it's just so good to have you back," Jacob was set free from that which he hadn't dealt with. He was taken out of that prison that he'd created for himself, and he was set free. And folks, so many of us are creating a prison for ourselves because we don't want to be set free. We don't want to be forgive. This is where it becomes hard. Because as I conclude this morning, there are four things I just want to bring to your attention. Firstly, forgiveness brings freedom. The master in the parable, "Let that man go," set him free, said, "Your debt is cancelled altogether." Means we're not slaves to work ourselves to become debt free before God. He just gives it to you and I. Sets us free to be loved and to be thankful. You see, unforgiveness puts a person in prison. If you don't forgive others, then you will not be forgiven by God. Unforgiveness of others results in not being forgiven by God. Folk, if you don't feel forgiven, if you will not have the assurance that God could forgive or has forgiven, it could be that you need to do some forgiving today. Not tomorrow, today. Secondly, forgiveness brings closure. See, there was closure to that debt. There was closure the day that Jesus Christ, we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He gave us closure on our debt. We were debt free, we were sin free because he forgave us. Yes, we humans with memories. Forgetting is not a substitute for forgiveness, folk. It's not. In fact, on the road to forgiveness, we may have to remember some of those horrible things about the unforgiveness or the issue that we had to deal with. But forgiveness closes the door on all of that. And that's where forgiveness changes from forgetting to total forgiveness. Because we allow the door of forgiveness to close that we might forget about it. Forgiveness is a choice. We can choose to forgive or not. You can choose to keep the emotion behind the locked door. You can walk away from it. Is it easy? No. There's no rose without thorns. There's always something going to come and try and bring it back to memory. So it's not easy to forget. But is it possible? Yes, it is. Ask God to help you. Is God going to do it? Yes, He is. He said, I leave you not alone, but I send you a comforter to lead you and to guide you and to help you. The Holy Spirit is there to help you. It's a spirit that dwells within you and I. To help us so that we can overcome that unforgiveness in our lives. We need to ask God for help. And we need to ask God for courage so that we can forgive. Because you know what? When you start forgiving, folk, you're stepping out of your comfort zone. Because in some cases, as with Jacob, he had to go and face his brother and say, I'll forgive you. I'm sorry for what I've done. And his brother says, you've forgiven long ago. It takes courage. Ask God to show you how to move on. The fourth thing, forgiveness brings life. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, when you were dead in your sin and in your uncircumcision of our sinful, in the uncircumcision of our sinful nature, God made us alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. We find life when we forgive. That is joy, hope, peace and strength. And we give life when we forgive to ourselves and to our victims of unforgiveness. Letting someone off the hook doesn't let them off God's hook. See, God still deals with them. But it frees you up. How often has somebody wronged you and you've turned around and you say, as Jesus said, Lord, Father, forgive them for they do not know what they have just done. And you do it from your heart. Folk, I believe that's the attitude that we should have. You see, holding on to an offense that someone has done to you, you become the jailer. You become the prison. You lock somebody in there. You keep them in there. But I want to say this, you alone have the key. And only you can let them out. But because you're the only one with the key, and only you can let them out, you've got to stay there as well. So now, let's have a look at this. I'm the jailer. Anthony's wronged me, so I put him in jail. I'm going to stay and make sure that he stays in jail, that he doesn't break out. You see, I can't move on with my Christian life while he's still in jail. So I'm stuck in that one position. Isn't that what life has happened to many of us? We don't want to forgive, so we stick in that one position. But the moment I forgive, I take that key and I unlock and I say, Anthony, you can go. You forgive him. I'm forgiving you, my brother. I love you. Are you still holding that key this morning? Folk, I believe there are people here that probably need to forgive. It may be a family member. Maybe a husband or a wife. Maybe a child. Or a child may need to forgive their parents. Maybe a church member. Maybe there's somebody here in this congregation today that you need to forgive, and they're right here today. Maybe it's even the pastor. Believe it or not. Today is the first day of the rest of your life. Let's start that day by forgiving. I believe that God has spoken word over this church to make a difference in this community. And we won't make a difference until you forgive. You might be that one peg that's holding everybody back because of unforgiveness in your life. You see how far this goes? You're holding the move of the Spirit. You're holding the church back from doing what God wants it to do. I believe there will be a day when we're going to see a revival in this place as God brings the people in here. But folk, we need to step out. Today, if there's any unforgiveness, any doubt that you have not forgiven, I believe we need to step out this morning and say, Father, forgive them. And I want to do it from the depth of my heart. Father God, forgive. You see, folk, how can I talk like this? Remember some time back I said I was in a horrible place. God said to me, surrender. I did. I got slight release. You know, God just takes you maybe a step at a time. Eh? And he said, now forgive them. Because I was sitting there like Jacob, pondering over all these things. It was going like a cogs in your brain, you know, in a gearbox at 120 miles an hour. That thing spinning like crazy. You know, it wasn't until I sat down and I said, Lord, forgive them. Lord, love them. Lord, bless them. Let your mantle of love be over them. Protect them. When I opened that door of that prison and I let them out, God began to release me. And I was able to step out with unforgiveness. Yes, there's still many things that we have to deal with in life. But you know what? Let's make it a habit, folk. Jesus said in Matthew 18, Peter asked, how many times must we forgive? Once? Twice? Jesus said, no. 70 times 7. Have you forgiven up to that amount of times yet in your life? Folk, if we need to forgive, let's do it this morning. Amen. Father, as we just bow our heads this morning, I believe this is not a request from you, but a command and an instruction. If we have anything against a brother or a sister, your word says, and we're praying, we need to stop right there and go make right. And Father, I pray that our lives will stop right now. If there's any unforgiveness in our lives, we need to stop it right now. We need to come against that. That spirit of unforgiveness And we need to bind it up in the name of Jesus, that we might be able to soar on the wings of eagles and be set free as you said, want to set us free. Never again to open that door, but I allow you to deal with it as you see fit. So, Father, I pray today for each one here, each one of us, myself included, Father God, to your honor and your glory, that we will forgive as you have forgiven us. That today we will find the release that you desire. Today will be a new day of release, a new day of joy, hope, peace, love, kindness, mercy, grace. Touch us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.